Hey everyone, Farmington Mayor Nate Duckett. Everything is getting more expensive these days, but we have some good news coming out of the electric utility. I've got Hank Adair with me today to talk about how your electric rates are coming down. We're going to talk about the history of the PCA, and we're going to talk about the future for Farmington Electric and how that impacts your rates. Hey everyone, welcome to the Mayor's Table. With me today is our special guest. I think you've been on the show three times this year, Hank.
I think this year three times, yeah.
Yeah, Hank Adair, the director of the Farmington Electric Utility System. Welcome.
Glad to be here, as always.
Yeah, we're here with good news today.
We are.
I thought it would be important to get on camera in front of folks and let them know what's going on with their electric rates. Maybe give a brief history of how this year's kind of ended up, but why now we're able to bring the rates back down, which is the good news of the day. So, Hank, tell us a little bit about this year in particular, maybe since, the closure of San Juan Generating Station, kind of what's happened with pricing, why we saw the big spike in January, and why we had to use the PCA like never before.
Yeah. I think, to summarize it up, I would say it goes from global issues to regional issues in the western part of the United States, and then trickles down, of course, to local issues. So we've seen, starting in the summer months of last year, we've seen natural gas prices, and one of our flagship generation asset is natural gas producing or generating from burning natural gas. And we've seen trends of natural gas prices climbing slightly and a little higher than normal, but slightly and gradual through the summer months. And a lot of that was driven by the war in Ukraine to some piece of it. There was more and more LNG or liquid natural gas transports go into European nations. So some of that was being offsided from the United States instead of being consuming here. And then at the same time, we seen massive heat. There was a major heat dome, which nearly had blackouts and rolling blackouts happening in California. They were saying, don't charge your electric vehicle. Please do that in the middle of the night, like that. And so all that heat was happening. So then natural gas was generating all they could to produce power. And so that drove natural gas prices up. Then as you burned it, you used it, it drove it into electricity prices. And the demand was so high in that. We've seen prices as high as $1,500 a megawatt hour for certain hours. Historically, in years gone by or years previous, it would be about $40. So that shows you the extremes. The average for the month of September last year was 167 a megawatt hour. That's in the middle of the night, the daytime, so it was very expensive. So natural weather, the heat in California drove a lot of those prices in September. And so then we had to increase the PCA because we were paying those costs.
And that PCA is the power cost adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the bill as a means to be a pass-through from power cost fluctuations.
Yeah.
So whatever the utility is paying, it has to then pass on to its customers.
Exactly.
And that's done through the PCA.
Exactly. And it's a direct pass-through. We're a not-for-profit. We're not trying to make money on the backs of our customers. We are our customers. Everybody who works in the utility their utility bills come from it, right? So we live it and breathe it just like every one of our customers. There is no profit margin in the power cost adjustment. It's just the things and the costs we have to pay for commodities like purchase power and natural gas are the big hitters within that. And we have to pass those on to our customers to keep some cash reserves for those extreme rainy days that may happen, or those hot days just like September. And so that was what we've seen progress. And then as we headed into the winter months, we had a pretty cold winter last year. And so as we headed into those winter months, there were two major things that happened in California. And one was there was a pipeline that supplies gas to California that was not operating, so they couldn't get as much gas there. And then there's a place where they store natural gas called Aliso Canyon, which is an underground storage facility. And normally when gas prices are low, they build up that volume, and then that helps them for extreme events. And because they couldn't get the gas into California, they had low reserves. And then California was paying extreme prices because they needed natural gas to heat homes and to generate electricity. And so that's where we're paying the prices. And a lot of our constituents will say, why don't you buy local, right? We make sure. Natural gas right here. Yeah. Well, the gas we're buying is local. We're buying it at what they call El Paso San Juan Hub, which is in Bloomfield area in Blanco. And so we're buying at those prices, but that's the market that's driving it. So at the time, and I'll readily admit we didn't have a hedge against it because we wasn't seeing those prices happen. And then we seen an extreme event in January where gas prices went to $32.97 a MMBTU, which was never been seen. And so that drove us from going from a penny and a half PCA to 3 cent PCA, and eventually in March of this year to a 6 cent PCA, because we had to recover those costs. So
there was a minimum amount that we're required to carry in our reserve account.
Mm-hmm,
and we had dipped down to that level. And that's mm-hmm. what instituted the need to put the PCA in.
Exactly. And we were even below it. Our cash reserve policy is to at least have 25% of our annual expenses, which is around $120 million. So our cash reserve restricted level is $32 million, and we were well below that. So the only way we could get and to stabilize the utility was to increase that power cost adjustment and pass-through, and that went eventually to 6 cents starting in March. But I have good news to tell after that.
Yeah, and throughout this summer, we benefited from that cold winter.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had good snowpack, and so yeah. we had good hydropower, which is very cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And so up until the time when the hydro plants started to slow down because the runoff had slowed down, that's when people all of a sudden in the hottest month of the year, July,
mm-hmm.
Saw those big electric bills come through.
Yeah, and I think, Mayor, for it's the consumption, right? It got a lot hotter this summer. People use their air conditioners more. But we did see the benefit, and that's one big driving factor that allows us to lower the PCA. And weather was a big one, as you mentioned, though, snowpack. We get about 7% of our power on an annualized basis from Lake Powell, and that's from the WAPA and what they call Colorado River Storage Project. That's part of our allocation of low-cost hydropower. You may not recall, but there was announcements and concerns that Lake Powell had hit the lowest it ever had seen in February of this year. And there was concerns they would get to what's called the minimum power pool, and that's the lake would have got so low that the hydro plants could not have operated. That would have been a major negative effect.
Yeah.
But then what happened in February, we seen snow like we've never seen before, or it felt like for me I'd never seen it before.
It had been a long time.
Yeah, and we seen that snowpack not only in the Rocky Mountain region, but in the Sierra Nevadas, and then all that snowpack ran off. Lake Powell gained 64 feet in 3 months. And so instead of going to where there was no generation, actually they increase our allocation of generation, which we've seen. And so that had a major effect. And all the while that hydropower is generating, guess what? When the sun wasn't shining with solar, then natural gas didn't have to pick up that gap as much because hydro covered it. So less natural gas was used for generation, which then drove supply and demand, drove costs down for natural gas. That was a big effect that helped us to lower the PCA.
Yeah, it's just interesting for mm-hmm. you know, for me. I love hearing just the way all this whole cycle works to mm-hmm. understand exactly what impacts the cost of power, what and how and where do we get our power from. So
yeah.
But good news this summer is we met our minimum reserve.
Mm-hmm.
We tapered down and are tapering down the I believe the PCA by 10% in October, and it was going to be 10% in November. So we did a mayor's table and talked about that.
Correct.
But now we've got some additional news with the help from our legislator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Mayor, you know, a lot of that effect is what we've seen with the weather events, and then also Aliso Canyon now can put more gas in. They have more storage, so that's what looks good going forward. And so everything we've done to reduce the PCA in October and now November, we have additional great news. And as you mentioned, Mayor, our state legislation, reserve dollars or allocation for the utility or for the city of Farmington, and the allocation was defined as to help with energy transition with the loss of a coal-fired plant, which was San Juan Station, and to also help our customers with electric rates. And so that allocation of $10 million was allocated to us, and we have actually seen the first payments to go into effect, or I should call it reimbursement. And so that big milestone and that extra $10 million into our cash reserves we're doing what we exactly said we would do. And just like we're passing through costs, now we're passing through those cost reductions directly to our customers. So it's a great day.
No, it's great. So when will that final, because essentially we're going to be able to reduce the PCA down to what it was prior to us putting it up, which puts our rates, our total electric rates, at the lowest in the region and I mean, really anywhere. But when will customers see that on their bill?
So they'll see it on their bill. Right now, the latest PCA reduction to 4.1 to 2.25 cents, I'm sorry, that went into effect on November 1. And so now we'll see the reduction from 2.25 cents to 1.2 cents. That will happen January 1 of 2024. But basically, I'll say once you get your bill in January, whenever it is, it's reading your previous 30-month usage. So really, when you get your bill wherever.
30-day.
Yeah, 30-month. I'm sorry, 30-day. Yeah. Not that far.
I just want to confuse people there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm glad you caught me there. So 30 days behind that. So wherever they see their bill in January, it'll be down to 1.2 cents. And so we compare ourselves to others in the region. You have to look at not only their energy rates, but their base charges. Some utilities have things called riders. You take all that into consideration. We call it a power cost adjustment. Big IUUs often call it a fuel clause. And you take all those in for the cost. And if we take all that consideration for the average customer, again, it puts us, as you mentioned, which we're happy to say, the lowest rates in the region again.
Well, that is great news, Hank. And I, you know, I, of course, have talked to many folks in our community who are very concerned about if this was unsustainable rates. You know, the PCA was really causing, well, I mean, it's expensive.
It is.
It's very expensive, and everything right now is expensive, and so I can certainly see where people's budgets for their households were impacted. Mm-hmm. But it is important for folks to know we there was purpose to it, there was a reason it happened, we worked through it, and now we're back, going to be back down where we were before. And I think going forward, what can we kind of anticipate, or what do you kind of see in your crystal ball over the next 12 months? I mean, do we see some steadiness, you know, being worked back into the markets?
We do. And so, you know, we talked about weather and how that affected in Aliso Canyon, and everything there. We talked about what we've seen from our state legislation. But we haven't also talked about what we've done as a utility to do our part. And so a lot of what we've done, I'll start with the initial one, is we did a midterm purchase power agreement to last us early this year all the way to the end of 2025 till new generation comes on. It's not the entire amount we need, but it's a large portion of it, and that's a basic strong hedge so we can have rate stability for our customers. The other thing we've done is the first time ever this utility did what we call a financial natural gas hedge. That went into effect November 1, and it goes all the way till March, and it stabilizes our natural gas costs against volatility. So that means that go forward, we've reduced that risk. And we'll do that again and again in future years in those high commodity price or high volatile natural gas months.
Great.
So that's a strength we've did. Also, with y'all, your direction, mayor and council, you all have approved us to join what's called the energy imbalance market. And so we are looking to join an energy imbalance market where we can partner with other utilities, and when they have extra generation or we don't, or vice versa, if we do, we can put that energy into the market and get the cheapest price for power, whether we generate it or decide to or buy it from that market. And that consolidation of all those utilities helps lower those costs. And what we've seen historically with that market is very low purchase power costs. And so those things all stable together, and sitting with Aliso Canyon and all the natural gas that they have for reserves right now, means that natural gas prices will probably be lower in the spring. That's what's being forecasted right now. And then purchase power will follow it. We'll see how snow happens. Come on snow.
And so Farmer's Almanac says we're gonna have some good snow, so
that's what I'm hearing.
I hope the farmers come through for us.
Yeah, it seems like it always snows hard around here in February, right? I love February for those months of snow.
Yeah, kind of early spring. And
yeah,
Yeah.
And so all those things considered and the energy imbalance market, those drive us to be successful this summer. So it's not like, hey, you raised rates in the summer. We didn't do it on purpose. We had to based on that and recovering the cost. It's not like we plan on that coming again. And we've done everything in the utility we can to make sure those rates will stay as low as we can for our customers. And then core, I guess, fundamentally, what I'll say is we tightened our belts as a utility, just like many have, right? It's like, as that PCA was high, we take it personally. So we reduced our costs, not reducing things that would impact safety or reliability. Things we could do that were, I would say, long-term capital. We adjusted it, prioritized it. And then, frankly, things like training. Do enough training to make sure our staff is up and trained on the latest things. But we haven't done as much training as we have historically. So we're doing that belt tightening of our expenses because we need to help our customers. So not only do I see we've done it and done well to get to here today so we can have this conversation, but we've done all those things on a go-forward basis that will help us long-term to keep them right where they're at.
Well, that's good news. So looking forward, I know we've probably talked about this on the show a few times, but just understanding the integrated resource plan and kind of what the next 5-10 years looks like for the utility when it comes to where we're going to get our power from. Can you give us just a quick rundown on what that looks like?
Absolutely. So our short term, I would say, is in the next 2 to 3 years, and that's to build 3 generation type access assets. And so one would be a combined cycle plant, about 48 megawatts. One would be a reciprocating engine project of about 18 megawatts. Those, again, are natural gas fired. And the third would be to build 30 megawatts of solar. Now, when we say build, it could either be us building it ourselves or a very long-term purchase power agreement where we would buy that for the long term. So that still meets the same cause.
Sure.
I would say right now we had great news. We've received our air permit for our reciprocating engines. We have signed letters of notice to proceed on the reciprocating engines themselves. So we're starting to build them. We have a kickoff meeting actually scheduled for next week with the company, and we'll see those in about 12 months. I think 12 to 14 months is what we expect, and then we'll complete the construction of them. And we've done everything we can at that site from an electrical standpoint to be able to put it in, build it up, and connect it, because we've already done that forward looking to get ready. Related to the combined cycle plant, we're looking more to sign a long-term purchase power agreement. We'll let somebody else build that. It has an awful lot of capital, and we all know what interest rates look like right now.
Sure.
So we'll find the right player that works with that, and we have about 3 in the region. We want to buy local. I guess that's our mentality. We want it in our service territory. And so we're working with the 3 to find the best project that fits our community.
And where would that be located at, Hank?
It would depend on the power producer. Some are to the west in our service territory, some are to the north, and some are to the east. It just depends on the right player.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
And then the third would be the solar project. And we actually have partnered with somebody and are working through that. We've actually applied with a letter of intent to the USDA for loan forgiveness with what's called the Powering Affordable Clean Energy Act. And we could see as up to a max of 40% loan forgiveness for that project, which would then help lower cost to our community. So those are the 3 in the short term there. In the long term, we would look to probably add wind. We would add storage.
You said that the other day, the wind thing. Mm-hmm. There's not enough wind here in our area, and we're not going to build wind power. So this is just simply purchasing wind.
Correct.
From, I would imagine, the southern part of the state. Would that be the kind of location, or
there is a project and it's been announced, and I even heard it at the energy conference. There was a San Juan Basin Energy Conference that happened this week, and the announcement is they're looking to build wind in northeast New Mexico and build a very large high voltage transmission line that would actually come into the Four Corners and actually to Four Corners power plant.
Okay.
So that's why that's in the long term, because there's a lot of stars that need a line and a lot of dots that need to connect. But
sure.
If that were to happen and they built that big and got it to our home, let's call it, wouldn't be a bad project to consider being a part of.
Hank, how come we don't build nuclear? I get that question.
Nuclear's a challenge, right, Mayor? And so we see it really right now, the small modular reactors. And when I think nuclear, I think small modularized reactors, you know, those 50 megawatt type units. And right now, there's only one that's been approved by the NRC. And so that model looks good, and I really like that model. But right now, the price points of it are quite high. And so what we would look for is that opportunity when that price point comes down and consider it. It's not in our IRP, but we do an IRP every 5 years, and that may be an opportunity. Then the question, Mayor, is do you build it local or do you build it somewhere else? The most advanced small modularized reactor project, or SMR, is in Idaho right now, and the cost to get that power down to Farmington would be quite expensive. So not only do you have the generation cost, you also have the transmission cost. But the West is changing. I'll tell you right now, Western utilities have always wanted control. We have always wanted to chart our own destinies. And more we're seeing like the energy imbalance market we're joining. And then eventually there could be a thing called a markets plus or a day ahead market, because the real-time market's buying every single hour on 15-minute basis. The markets plus is buying power on a day ahead basis. And then there's a thing called a regional transmission organization, or RTO. And that takes it to the last level, if you will. What's interesting with that is then you would consolidate all the transmission, and instead of paying this person a little bit of money for transmission here, 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 and here, and they call it pancaking, and then the price really adds up. In an RTO market, you would pay one price to get it from Idaho to here. And so that has benefit. So that may be the future. That has pros and cons with it, but if we advance that far, then where we could buy power from could broaden up. So that's why you do the let's build or buy local, and then let's look regional in the future when those markets advance.
Power is one of the coolest things about being a part of, well, being honored with being mayor of Farmington. Mm-hmm. Learning about power has been the coolest thing for me.
It is.
Because it's constantly changing, and it's very dynamic. Mm-hmm. And it's probably the most important thing next to water and then what impacts people's lives on mm-hmm. a regular, everyday basis. So, Hank, thank you for the updates. Anything else you want to add for our viewers?
I think I covered it, Mayor. You know what we did in the past and how we plan for the future. Now we just got to execute.
Yeah. And the good news of the day is the PCA is coming back down January 1st. So folks will see that immediately on their new. It's like a New Year's. Be a New Year's celebration. It's desperately needed. So, well, Hank Adair, thanks for joining us. Thank you for watching. What I would ask everybody tuning in today is please make sure to share this information with your friends and family here in the city of Farmington in the Four Corners area. This is information that I get asked about frequently. We put these specials together just for the purpose to make sure we're disseminating information as quickly as possible to the public, and we believe it has a lot of value. So please make sure you share this. Let people know it's out there. We're on Spotify. We're on YouTube. You can check us out in many different places. So thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you again next time here on the Mayor's Table.